of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, we give you praise. We worship you. Lord, even as we look into your word, pray and also worship more this night, speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to us. Align us. Build us up. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. May please be seated. Shout glory. I'll share a brief word with us and spend more time praying. Thank you, Jesus. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. You know, when our brother was leading us to sing that song, "You Made My Life So Beautiful," I just remembered something I saw today. Within the last 3 days, I've seen and I've gotten at least 4 suicide attempts from different people. And I was watching this one online, and the neighbor was trying to stop him from killing himself, and they were shouting, "Oh God, stop, stop, stop." And while they were still shouting, this man, he said, "You don't know waiting at the cars through. You don't know." And stabbed himself. Two days ago, my wife called me. She said she does not understand. Her WhatsApp, she has gotten 3 reports of different people trying to commit suicide. Father, in this generation, we come against the spirit of depression. I'm serious. I want a louder amen. We break the spirit of depression. Just between Monday and today. So when he was singing that song, I felt like saying, no matter how your life looks, declare, "He has made my life beautiful." That's faith. Because sometimes, when you want to look at it naturally, it doesn't look beautiful to you. But you agree with God, "Lord, you've made my life beautiful." Can you say after me, "Lord, you've made my life beautiful"? Thank you. Glory. Amen. And you see, let me tell you something. The Bible says, "He that is joined to the living, there is hope." This is not the sermon, but I think I need to do a teaching that I will broadcast on a mass scale, combating the spirit of suicide or the spirit of depression. I'm telling you that your life is more reason to say he has made your life beautiful. I am telling you, if you know, years ago, I was worrying about something. I was so bothered about something. And is there good enough? If it's not good enough, I'll prefer it here. But if it's not possible, okay, we can work with that. Praise the Lord. Some of you are wondering, "Pastor, why stress them? There's no light there." Praise the Lord. If I stay there, when on the video feed, my face will be black. I'm already black, so it's not like I was light skinned before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To him that joined to the living, there is hope. Let me tell you, if God really has given up on you, you would have been dead by now. I'm telling you. Yes. That you are still breathing is proof that God has a plan for your life. Please focus on me. Amen. That you are still breathing is proof that God has a plan for your life. This may not apply to you. Maybe for some of you, you don't know what I'm talking about. But there may be somebody online that is hearing what I'm saying and God is talking to him. Are you with me? That your life is proof that there is still hope. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what I want to share this evening, you can call it the grand finale of this particular faith adventure series. Have you been blessed so far? If you have been blessed, let me hear a loud shout of glory. And if you miss the teaching, maybe you missed some of the teachings, try and go back. Because there are many things we are saying now, or we said on Sunday, that is the result of a build-up. We started some time ago, and we have been building on it. Praise the Lord. I've titled this short charge, Prophetic Faith. Glory. And what do I mean by prophetic faith? By prophetic faith, we are talking about the faith that is God-centered. The faith that is God-centered. And I will explain. Are you with me? I will explain. Usually, on the subject of faith, the popular notion or understanding of faith is that, in fact, in many circles, what many people think faith is okay, I want to get something from God, or I want a supernatural intervention from God. So what I will do to impress God or to get God to do what I want him to do is that I will have enough faith. And if I can have enough faith, God will answer me. Are you with me? That's what many people think. But you see, that is true to some certain extent. In fact, it is correct in some context, but it's incomplete. If your understanding of faith begins and ends with that understanding, you still have a long way to go. And in fact, the danger of that is that you will have a lot of struggles later on as you begin to advance. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, even in your understanding of normal life and normal sciences, there are certain things that when you are teaching you in primary school, if you ask a primary school child, 5 minus 3 is what? 2. If you ask the child 3 minus 5, what will they tell you? He cannot. Are you with me? If you ask a primary school child 3 minus 5, they will say it cannot. But by the time you come to secondary school, they will tell you -2. And you ask them how, they will say, oh, there is something called the number line. Are you following me? In the same way, in the things of the spirit, at a certain level, there are certain things they will teach and they won't try to talk to expatiate on it too much. Because at that stage, that's what it's okay. Yes, are you getting me? Yes, but as you grow and mature in the things of God and grow, they will now begin to explain. We will now begin to explain that you have to look at it in a better context. Are you with me? Okay, so I'll give you examples. I'll give you examples. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Now, the story in Mark 11, if you read from verse 12 to verse 14, Jesus came to Bethany and he was hungry and he saw a fig tree and he wanted to eat of the fig tree, but it was not time for figs. And he got angry and said, no man will eat of you any longer. And by the time they came, some days after, perhaps weeks after, it had happened that Jesus had said. So Jesus cursed the tree and the tree dried up. Are you with me? And then the apostles of Jesus were amazed and were excited. Say, Master, this tree you caused has dried up. And then Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be that removed and be that cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, he just spoke to a tree, right? So, and he said, if you are impressed about that, that's nothing. If you can say to this mountain. So he was speaking to a literal tree. And perhaps, Maybe he was pointing to a literal mountain. But do you realize that after this point, we never saw anywhere where the apostles of Jesus went to a mountain and say, "Oh, ye mountain, be thou be removed and cast into the sea." Why are you laughing? Why are we laughing? But he said this mountain. If you saw someone go to one of the hills in Abuja and say, "The Bible says, Jesus speaking, if thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not die in his heart, he shall whatsoever I said. So now I speak to you, oh ye mountain, move. Mountain, move." What will you do? You're like, "Guy." Already, we are laughing because we know that there is more to that. Are you following me? But then, look at the next verse. Verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." But the question is, why is it that it is not every time people pray about whatsoever that they get it? Could there be something more to this issue of faith that we have not unlocked? The answer is yes. Are you following me? The answer is yes. Because he said, whatsoever things so desire. Lord, I want to be taller. Lord, I want to be a baller. Lord, I want my skin to be lighter. Lord. And you may be wondering, why are you asking that? The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire, I desire to be. Can I be honest with you? Let me know, like, I actually prayed. There was a time I prayed to be taller. Somebody here knows that I prayed that prayer. Some of my friends, I sincerely knelt down and prayed to God. Thank God, as at the time when that happened, I was already hearing God, like beyond just reading the Bible, I was hearing God by supernatural encounter. God spoke to me. One day I prayed about it. I asked God, I want to be 6'5". I prayed about it. I said, "But God, I've seen you give miracles. Some people's leg grew. Lord, I want to grow taller." I prayed. Then the Lord replied me in the night. He said, "Don't ask me to be 6 foot taller. Ask me for a body that fits your destiny." I believe I had prayed it so much that God was almost like, "Angel, what should we do to this boy?" And before I could say, "Lord, give me," he said, "I've given you already." Look at James chapter 4. I'm sure you're wondering, "Pastor, where are you going to?" Don't worry, you will soon get the point. James 4. He says, in verse 3, he says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." In fact, that text, "ye ask and receive not," seems like a contradiction to whatever you ask when you pray, you will receive them. How come? Mark is saying, whatever you pray, you believe, you will receive them. And now you come to James, he says, "Ye ask, and ye receive not." So is it possible to ask and receive not? Yes! Because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Are you following me? So that means, in the subject of faith, if we don't begin to talk about the will of God, at some point we will begin to struggle. There is something called the will of God. Now, the temptation is that some people, they cannot balance the idea of, God help me, I'll communicate this very well. They can't balance the idea of finding out God's will and the fact that sometimes, even when God's will is known, you still have to push through. So let me put it like this. Some people believe that if they try to get something and it doesn't work, it automatically means that's not God's will. Are you with me? And it's not true. For the fact it is God's will does not mean you will not face challenges. Are you getting me? What makes a thing God's will is not how easy it comes. It is that God's will is God's will. It is not the ease that surrounds a situation that makes it God's will. It is that God said it is my will. That's what makes it his will. Are you following me? Secondly, with that said, faith cannot begin without the will of God. Are you getting me? Faith cannot begin without the will of God. So if the will of God is not backing something, you will struggle to have faith for that thing. If the will of God is not behind the thing, you will struggle to have faith for that thing. If the will of God is not behind the thing, you will struggle to have faith for that thing. So, as we teach the subject of faith, we must also teach the subject of consecration. That before we start talking about using your faith to get things, using your faith to walk with God, using your faith to see, first and foremost, have you made up your mind to submit to the will of God? This is the beginning of prophetic faith, where some people are trying to move the hand of God, but some others are moving with the hand of God. Are you following me? Faith will become almost effortless when it is in the direction that God is going. So, are you getting what I'm saying? So, as a Christian, when you begin to mature, you will learn. Have you ever heard people say things like, when I got born again, when I started my Christian journey, anything I just prayed for, I will get. Anything I just prayed for, I will get. It was just easier. My prayers were just getting easily answered. But a time now came, when I'm praying for something, Sometimes it can be a struggle with the will of God. Sometimes it can be a struggle with the obstacles to the will of God. So, see here. You see this work with God, we will learn it and learn it well. Amen. Amen. In fact, when there are challenges and it is the will of God, you will discover the strength of God will carry you through. For instance, look at the Bible, look at Moses. God told Moses, go to Pharaoh, use the rod, it will turn to a serpent. I want to ask you, did God not know that the magicians of Pharaoh will also use that same sign? They will also use that same rod. Not that same rod, their own rods, but that same sign. Are you getting me? God knew that Pharaoh would tell Moses no, but God told him go. Are you with me? So, like I said, you will grow from the level of trying to move the hand of God by faith to where you now begin to know this is where God is going and I move with it. This is God's direction and I move with it. Are you following me? Remember where we started from? 11:6. Faith is agreement with God even when it does not make sense. And many times it does not make sense. At the beginning, it does not make sense. But you have to remind yourself that God cares about me. God believes in me. God loves me. Have you seen that verse in the Bible that says faith worketh by love? So, sometimes it's just like my daughters, Joy and Amanda. If any of them, I just come and lift them and start carrying them out of the house and start running with them. If like my daughter, baby Amanda can talk. Imagine a baby talking, but just picture it. Imagine she starts asking me, Daddy, where are you taking me to? Why are you running so fast? Daddy, drop me. I think I will be able to explain to her that, see, if I'm carrying you and I'm running, you should trust what I'm doing. Why? I'm your father. So, when you understand that God loves you and God believes the best for you, are you with me? God is on your side. It will be easy to trust him even when you don't understand what is happening. Are you getting me? Are you with me? Let me show you something in the Bible. To master the subject of faith, you must master the subject of consecration. To master the subject of faith, you must master the subject of consecration. That's why I'm bringing it to conclude the series. Look at Genesis 11. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11 from verse 1. The Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name." Are you seeing this? "And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the tower and which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, the people is one, and they have one language, and nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." And then in verse 7, the Lord said, "Let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So, some people were trying to build a city to make a name for themselves. What did God do? He came and scattered that project and all of that. Go to chapter 12. Now, if you read this chapter 11, you may just conclude that God is against people having a name. God is against us doing ambitious things. Are you with me? You may conclude that God is not really interested in you doing something big. You may think that God is against ambition. And I've seen some people even preach that ambition is not of God. Ambition is not of God. But you will discover that nobody can be more ambitious than God. You cannot be more ambitious than God. Look at this earth. Does it look like somebody that doesn't have ambition? The person that created it. You say you wanted to make swimming pool. Your own swimming pool. Have you passed a sea before? Chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." Everybody read on from there now. "And make thy name great, and thou shalt..." Oh yeah, everybody, verse 2, 1, 2, 3, go. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Amen. Verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Glory! So now, in chapter 11, people want to make a name for themselves. He stopped the project. Chapter 12, he came and said, "I will make a name for you." So that means God was not against making a name for them or them having a great name. It was their will was against his will. He wanted the earth to spread abroad with people. He wanted people to fill up the whole earth. But somebody wanted to make a name out of rebelling against his will. He had to be scattered. Yes, are you with me? So, the genius of faith is finding out, God, what do you have in store for me? What direction are you going? What are you doing? Allow me to be part of it. When you enter there, it will be an effortless redeem of grace. Let me tell you, there is nothing you have as an ambition. There is nothing you have in your mind, something great to do with your life. There is nothing you are trying to conceive that your life should look like that God does not have something better. The problem is, will you trust him? You know, subconsciously, some people have this idea that God doesn't really mean well for me. You know, even in relationships, boy-girl relationships, they will say, have you ever heard things like, wait, let me use the right phraseology so that they will not drag me on social media. They make it sound like this, that if you like somebody, that's not God's plan for you. Once you have a specification, what they call spec, they believe that, for you to say you want somebody, a lady that is beautiful, a lady that is pink, no, you are canna. You are not a serious brother. If you're a really serious brother, you want a lady whose hair she tied the hair. No breathing space in the hair. The gown will be long like this. That when she's walking like this. Makeup, devil. If she's using makeup, it's of the devil. They just believe that if it is God, she cannot be too fine. If it is the will of God, she cannot be. If she's too fine, mommy, water. Evil spirit. Do you know people have those mindsets? Sometimes they don't say it publicly, but even the way they act. Maybe they are in a church. Maybe a church setting, we are praying and worshiping, and a lady just comes in. Looking very... You know what that means? Looking very fine. I'm not saying indecent. I'm not saying sensual, sexual, or immoral. Just looking beautiful, good cologne, you know, everything. The hair, everything is set. Good. And she comes in. There is an evil spirit here. A seducing spirit is in the church. Oh, God. Expose her. Expose them. Expose them. And they will lead prayer. And the pastor is expecting that's the person that is with the spirit. Because people just believe God doesn't have... Can you say after me? God has my best interest. See, say it again. God has my best interest. Oh, some of you are not talking. God has my best interest. I wish I had the time to do that, but we'll have a special service for that. I will show you from the Bible. Many places people thought God was against them, but God was for them. If you study Genesis chapter 18, God came and told Sodom, Lot and his wife, get out of this country. I'm about to destroy it. Now, if God comes and tells somebody, leave this place, I want to destroy your city, what will you think? My life, my businesses. He just came and he's God's self. And so, Lot shall listen and left. When Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel told Lot, go to the mountain. Lot said, if I go to the mountain, I will die. If I go to the mountain, there is no food there. If I go to the mountain, I will suffer there. If I go to the mountain, some beast will kill me. Let me go to this city called Zoar. It's a small city. I will be saved there. The angel told him, go to the mountain. Then he looked at the angel. Please, let me go to... The angel said, oh, yeah, go. He went to Zoar. Are you with me? The Bible says 3 months later, he now went back to the mountain. The Bible never told us what he saw in Zoar. That made him leave Zoar and say, no, let's go to the mountain. No, I believe that's the place I'm supposed to be. Okay, is that Shaggy Abby? Are you with me? And I can show you all through scripture. Many times God is saying, this is the way. But sometimes you are short-sighted, you are limited, and you are trying to judge based on what you know right now. So the genius of faith, like I said, is not trying to move the hand of God, is moving with the hand of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, this is just by the way. New breed. When I recommend books to read, read. Are you with me? You know, a thought. I was listening to something today, and a thought. I picked a thought that touched me. Do you know that we can praise? Have you ever heard those sermons that praise the eagle? That you will soar like an eagle. Like, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. That the eagles are different from other birds. That the eagles have a very sharp eyesight. The eagles, they don't need to flap their wings because there is a way their wings are that the wind carries them. They glide upon the wind. Are you with me? And the Bible even says that we will fly like eagles. Do you realize that? We are the ones that look at the eagle as extraordinary. The eagle does not see itself that way. Everything we look at the eagle and we admire about the eagle, it was born with it. It was born with it. So, to us, we are seen an extraordinary animal, but to the eagle, it is just living its life. It means that when the Bible says whatever is born of God, if we are just living our life in Christ, what other people will look at and call extraordinary will be our normal life. Are you with me? I want to ask you, have you lived your normal life in Christ? Have you allowed yourself live the normal Christian life? If you live the normal Christian life, faith will be your culture. It will be a natural thing. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And as a round off, the reason why this is also important is because, you know, we talked about faith as pleasing God in December 11:6. And we talked about faith in the lens of consecration, salvation, and then the miraculous. Maybe we need to reemphasize that faith in consecration. Because there will be times where your demonstration of faith will not be a miracle, but it will be a consecration. And God will call it faith. Your name will be written as faith. Do you know that the three Hebrew boys, when they were refusing to bow to the idol, they did not think they were trying to demonstrate faith. They were just doing what they felt was the right thing to do as people who are consecrated to God. Are you with me? But the Bible recorded it in Hebrews 11 as faith. Let me show you something. Philippians, certainly prophetic faith. Look at Philippians 4. The problem is, many people have fought being normal in Christ. They have stayed in the abnormal way for a long time. When God is calling them to be normal, they fight it. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 13. It says, everybody read 1, 2, 3, go.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Read it one more time. I can do all things through Christ. Read it again. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Glory!
Glory!
Now, when you read this, I can carry a plane. Wow. Through Christ which strengthens me. I can uproot this building. But well, check the context. Go to verse 12. So that you don't think that's what he's saying. Verse 12. He says, 1, 2, 3, go. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Do you know what this is saying? Paul is saying, I have come to the point in my walk with God that Christ has become my strength no matter what I go through.
Yes, sir.
That means the very fact that you are going through a tough time and you did not give up and the miracle has not yet happened, that is faith.
Yes,
To you, faith may only be demonstrated when the miracle happens. But according to the Bible, even when the miracle did not happen and you are still intact, that is faith. Are you with me? Paul is saying, no matter what thing happen, I dey can't wait. That is faith. No matter what happens, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When there is abundance, you know, I was talking to our head of protocol. He was sharing something with me. He said, Pastor, I noticed nothing bothers you. I see the way you respond to challenges. I see the way something, you don't come and tell you that. That's not going to happen. He said, oh, no problem. And he'd be like, ah. Are there challenges? Oh. If I share some. I made one mistake one day. I was preaching one time and I shared something I was going through personally. After the service, a lady walked up to me and was crying. She said, Pastor, in this church, that was what I told myself, no. If when I saw the effect of that, I said, I will reduce how I talk about my personal. She met me and said, Pastor, she was sharing just say, Pastor, I didn't know you go through. I said, I thought you didn't used to have a problem. See, Pastor, every Sunday you come with your suit set. Sharp. Say the suit will just be sharp. Pastor, I was wishing that my life can just be like, I say, ah. Shall be sure you are in the will of God. He said, Pastor, so you mean you are? He said, ah, she was. I said, don't worry. I'll be fine. I'm fine. He said, I can do all things. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. No matter what is happening around me, no matter what is going on, Christ strengthens me. Glory! That is also faith. That in good times, in bad times, in ugly times, in whatever times, Christ strengthens me. Say after me, Christ strengthens me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be defeated. Depression cannot take over me. Christ strengthens me. My faith is intact. My faith is intact. Glory! That's faith. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So this also means that faith is selflessness. That your faith begins to enter a different level where it is not just about the things you can get, but about consecrating your life to partner with God for ministry. Because that's what's happening here. Paul is saying, actually, the context is, he was talking about the fact that the Philippian church were giving to him more than some other churches. He was saying that, if you read the previous verse, that no church communicated with him concerning giving and receiving except the church in Philippi. And he was kind of shading Corinthian church, actually, if you know the context. So there were places that Paul went and the church took care of him. Life was good for him. Life was fresh. And there were places that he went to. And you see, Shege. I, as a pastor, I can relate. I can tell you places in Nigeria, there are places I've traveled to minister. And I feel like God sent me back there, Jesus. La cobra se comante comai. There are places you travel, say, Lord, I shall be far from evil. There was a place I went to preach. Eh? I'm not traveling again. But well, let me not say that. The Lord has reminded me that to traveling is starting. In fact, next week I'll be in Ado Ekiti. But before church started, there was a time I went to preach somewhere. I won't mention the state. Some people will not cry. God. The suffering was too much. In the night, I battled with mosquitoes. Zakata! Yeah! Because these strange creatures. Hotel that used to put off light by 10 p.m. Oh. Then in the night, you all hear rats. Jesus! Omo. I know how to abase and how to abound. I pray there. When I went to preach, the demons knew I came angry. Then I told my... So, what Paul is saying that no matter what happens, I will be faithful with the work of God. I will be selfless. And thank God I had known this that time. I did not now go there and say, you are cursed. What kind of treatment is that? You know, I made sure the host felt I was very well taken care of. Thank you so much. They were like, Pastor, you really blessed us. We'll have you again. My man, Jesus, Lord, God, I know I'm making, Lord. Are you with me? But this is selflessness. So, this is faith at work for a selfless cause. Are you with me? And as I round off now and we just pray and worship, how do you get to this point? Simple. Pay attention to God. Let me tell you something. As simple as praying, worshiping God, staying with God, it will furnish in you a kind of faith that will be prophetic. If you can just stay with God, after a while, your approach to things will be different. I want to ask a question. Has it ever happened to you, if you have been a Christian, a fervent believer for a while, you can relate to what I'm saying. Has it ever happened to you before where you were going through a tough time, like going through something tough, and you went to pray, and while you were praying, after a while, your prayer point changed? You felt like you couldn't just keep on going over that pain instead of praying about another thing. Then you now got angry with yourself. This thing that is disturbing me, why am I not giving it the at much? You know what's happening? God, by His Spirit, is bringing you out of idolatry of your pain. Because let me tell you, there is a way you can make an idol of your pain. There is a way you can make an idol of what you are going through. That every single time you go to pray, oh God, why don't I have children yet? Oh God, my pain. Oh God, my challenge. Oh God, after a while. Anytime angel come to prayer meeting, Lord, I need to marry this year. Lord. At the point, say, God, this matter, every time. Anytime you see the person is not happy, he's not smiling, nothing. What's the matter? While you are waiting for your situation to change, let your situation not change you. Are you with me? You can attach your joy to something. And let me tell you something. When you attach your joy and your life, everything, to something you are trusting God for, the chance of getting it becomes harder. Because let me tell you, picture a bucket that can contain 1,000 liters. Can you put 2,000 liters inside? When you attach your entire life value to a thing, you begin to give that in the place of God. You now make that thing bigger than God. You make it bigger than yourself. And as long as it is bigger than yourself, you cannot collect it. For you to get a thing, you must be bigger than it. You must be able to swallow it. Are you with me? You must be bigger than that thing. And the way to get bigger than that thing is to focus on bigger things. Are you with me? When you focus on bigger things and your big God, you become bigger than that challenge. After a while, you receive the testimony. It just enters. Are you with me? Jump on your feet. Exalt the name of Jesus.